Okay, custom halacha beza. And really, this halacha is a continuation of the last one. For our purposes, we'll deal with it separately. Kuvya shu kli she'osim mivainim v'ofer. It's made out of bricks and dirt. V'osim mitagnavoy, and you bake and you fry things in it. The chen tam custom shakur and tibuya. So these kind of things haseka mivachutz. The way you cook with it is you put the fire on the outside. Therefore, us lafas on Pesach, you can't bake with it on Pesach. Means you can't kasher it and use it on Pesach. Then chametz or niflat b'kach, because by heating from the outside, it won't get the bleeds out. But this one, the list halacha that you have to put the fire has to be on the side that the bleed came from. So this is the Gemara's example that this kind of thing can't be kasher because the fire would be on the outside. But if you mold gecholim, if you fill it up with coals, then maybe finim shor, then it's okay, because in this case there's no chashash from a paki. It's very strong and it can handle the fire on the inside. So here there's no chashash that will break, so you're allowed to put the fire on the inside, and then really you're allowed to kasher from the inside. Okay, so one thing we're not going to do about this then, which is that here's the Magen Avraham, and here's the Mishnah Berurah about what happens. How do you decide that a brick or dirt should be considered klicheres? That's how we're treating it as a klicheres, rather than treating it as klei adama. Okay, so I'm going to wait till a few halachas later when we do klei adama. Can be kasher. So we're going to put that on the side. Why that is? It happens to be right over here, but I'm going to leave it for there for that halacha as to why, what the difference is between klei adama and klicheres. Okay, let's just put that on the side. Okay, so now one thing that's within this din is like this. So it's a repeat of the din we had beforehand that you have to have the fire on the side of with the bleeds because of Kabbalah Kachpalter. So the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch are talking about klicheres. That's the example that we have here is a klicheres. So what's the din if it's not a klicheres, but it's a metal kli? Okay, what should be the din? Does the bleed have to be on the same side as does the fire have to be on the same side as the bleed, or could you have the fire on the other side? So the tour says the pashas that it goes for metal kli also, and the Prima Gadim is even more clear. Even on a metal kli, the fire has to be on the side that the bleed came from, and the Prima Gadim is even stronger. That he doesn't explain why, he just says if it's a pashas by him, but he makes more of a point out of it that the fire has to be on the side.
What are you talking about, Liban?
Yes, for Liban. For Liban, the fire has to be on the side that it's on. So the Avnezer argues. He has a very strong svar that he says. They don't say why they argue with him, but Rabbi Nezer says, when you heat something up, you do leave a gummer to something, to a piece of metal, so the whole thing is as if it's on fire. The whole thing becomes, it's mitzvah mitzin, or shetash kiposi, the thing is so burning hot, the measurement we use, like a Hagoyes Maimon, you will see, that it should be red hot. Red hot means the thing is mamash on fire. So how can you say that the fire is coming from the wrong side? The whole thing is mamash. It's like on fire. So how can you judge this? It doesn't get like that. The fire is on one side, so it's very hot. But we would say that the fire is on this side instead of on the other side. So the bleed can't come out like that. Here we should. This is Rabbi Nesis. He says
we start. How legal works? Is it instead of right.
Almost everybody holds that it's Sarif Bimkhanim. We'll see that later. That everyone holds that it burns the bleed away. So you could say if you're burning from the wrong side, it might not burn. But if you light the whole thing on fire, it's hard to believe how it can't burn.
Why is it that it's moist in the bleed?
Yes, that's correct. But how good for most people hold that it doesn't draw out the bleed. The pastor is that it burns the bleed. Hagolah draws out the bleed, but Liban burns bleed. So what Avdez says has a lot of svar to it. It's just hard to argue when the tour doesn't make such a point of it. He just says it in passing. The Prima Gadim makes a point out of it, that he holds that you need Liban from the other side. So whatever the din is, we'll leave it on the side. Liban Gomer, it's not Sunagir. What I want to say is
then the Avdez could argue on a region.
Does he bring the tour?
I'm almost sure he brings the Prima Gadim. The Torah doesn't make a point out of it. The Torah is just like in passing. The Prima Gadim is the one who makes like a point out of it. He says it as it's not just in passing. Okay. Now, but this whole question, this Avnezer is talking about for Liban Gomer. Okay, that's what the whole shaila here is about Liban Gomer. I haven't seen anybody who says that for Liban Kal to suggest such a thing. That's already a big step further to say the thing should be considered like it's on fire, like it's mamash, like all completely a piece of fire for Liban Kal. And Taka, we have a case of this in Philippe and Kal. It's hard to see it in klicheres, but we have it. Let's say a person has a frying pan, and they want to kasher it with Philippe and Kal. Or more, they have a blech, they want to kasher it with Philippe and Kal. So it says in the CRC's guideline that what you should do is take the blech, put it onto the fire, turn the fires on, and let it till it gets very hot, and then you did leave and cow. Now, you set the fire on the wrong side. Where did the bleach come from on a blech? Where did the bleach come from on a frying pan? The bleach comes from the top, but the fire is coming from the back side of it. So that if you'd be doing leave and gum, then you could say maybe about that in nature, that the leave and gum would work even from both.
Why don't you just tell them the guy to turn it off?
Exactly. I'm saying, so what you have to do is, so the instructions are wrong. Well, the instructions are wrong.
Right.
Really, you have to turn the blech over if you want to do that leave and cow, because you want to get the fire to be on the same side as the blech. The blech came from the top of the blech, so the top of the blech has to be facing down.
Have the fire going across the whole
block. That's a question how you pull off a leave and cow. We'll get to leave and cow. That's a question how you get it. Does the fire have to be touching it or not touching it? But if the fire would be on this side and the bleed is on this side, you're wasting your time. You're doing it on the wrong side. So that has to be corrected. And then there's another thing, which is this is a thing that people suggest. I don't think it's correct. It says, let's say you want to kasher your oven. So, in many ovens, there are two fires inside of the oven chamber. There's the broiling fire, that's in the oven chamber on the top. And in many ovens, the fire for baking is under, like, a shelf. On the bottom, there's, like, a shelf with holes in it, and underneath that shelf is where the fire burns. So, people who say that, well, if you just use the fire on the bottom, the fire's not in the oven. The fire is outside the oven. So, you can't do leave and kal or leave and gum or whatever you're trying to do to the oven. Or to leave them cold, throw them to the oven because the fire is on the outside. So there, it's hard to say because there, the fire is not on the outside. It's really one big chamber that happens to have a dividing shelf, like a protection, that nobody sticks their hand into the fire. So there's kind of a protection, or whatever reason that shelf is there for. It's really one chamber. It's not like in these cases we have here in Shulchan Aruch where you have a thing for cooking, and on the outside you build your little campfire on the outside of it to cook with it.
I don't understand the objection that people have.
Okay, they say is if you have an oven chamber.
That's where you cook with it. That's where you bake with it.
But how did the bleach get into the oven walls from the inside of the oven walls? If you look at this fire as being outside of the oven, fire has to come from the side where the bleach came from, not from where the fire usually comes from. You can't repeat what you did during cooking. You have to put the fire on the side where the bleach came from. Well, how do you get the fire on the side where the bleach came from? They're saying that the fire is on the outside. But really, that's really not the truth. The truth is really it's one big oven with a shelf in the middle of it. That the shelf is not just like a protection, for whatever it is, to keep your hands out of it.
It's outside the cookie or whatever it is.
In the cookie, this is a cooking chamber. It's like a pot. And you build the fire around it. Over here, this is not we're not building the fire on the outside. This is the oven and the fire's in here.
Sometimes it'll be a shelf, and you put the food on top of the shelf, you have the fire on the shelf, it'll be the same problem.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you put if you have a shelf in your oven, and you put the fire in there, you wouldn't say the bleach is coming from the wrong side. The fire's in the oven, and the bleach is in the bleach is coming from the fire doesn't have to touch it physically. The fire doesn't have to touch it. The fire has to be in the same side. So the fire is drawing out, or burning the bleach, or drawing out the bleach from within the chamber, rather from outside the chamber. Okay. So we'll talk to okay. So then it's food for thought. Okay. Now, what I more want to talk about is that it's for most people, it's kemat impossible to think of a case of hagola, that you should be doing hagola from the wrong side of the kli. There is a case, but to think of a case that you'd be doing hagola from the wrong side of the kli. This
take a small pot into a big pot.
Yes, I understand that you could do that, but which Meshuggah would stick a pot in, only sit the outside of the pot and not let any water float into the middle of it. Okay, that's only nuts would do that. You know? That's like they say that when Baron Cutler asked Rabbi Hendman to build an Erev in one part of around the Yeshiva or something in Lakewood. And so Rabbi Hendman wanted to get all kinds of Shilas answered about Hilchos Erev, so he built the craziest Erev with all kinds of kooky shilas built into it. And then when he finished it, he said to Ron Nusa, let's walk around the area, you should see what I did. So he walks and he says, well, why did you build it so stupid? He says, no, but I built it like this, so what should I do? No, puzzle. Oh, what should I do? Oh, no, this is kosher. So he got to walk around the whole area. Then stumble. When he finished, he went and built like a normal person. But he walked around and he built it, so yeah, so you could go put your pot in upside down, and, without letting any water into it, if you want to feel like you did that dip. Okay, but we, the people who are in commercial kashers have a very real example, and I admit that this, what I'm going to talk about, is only one part of the shaila, but we have a case of a kli that it's possible to get hagol water only on one side of the kli and not on the side of the kli where the bleed comes from. Okay? And that is, that's only one part, but that is a part of the shaila of kashering a heat exchanger that has regeneration. Okay, what is regeneration? Before we start, this equipment is somewhat complicated. It's not amazingly complicated, but it's somewhat complicated, and lots and lots of people don't catch this correctly, and they only out of ignorance, only because they didn't just, if you figure out how to do it and you spend the time explaining to it, Rabbi Land and I have gone to a bunch of companies, and anytime you explain to a guy and tell him what they have to do, it's no big deal. This is not like I was in this plant where this charge is coming from. We explain to them, hey, it's not a problem. It's just someone has to be taught how to do it. It's not a complicated thing to kasher. So we're just going to go through the
diagrams for that.
I have diagrams. Yeah, they're coming. So we have this. It's not so complicated. But once you get it straight, then it's reasonably easy to do. Okay. So this time I'll give you a handout for here. Okay. The first thing is like this. If you could hold the torch for a second, just hold it for a second. Okay. First, when you pasteurize something, it means you're trying to get something to a certain temperature so that you're going to kill all the germs, all the bacteria in it, so that it won't spoil or it won't hurt somebody when they eat it. So there's a rule. It has to hit a certain temperature in order to get pasteurization. So what companies have in particular in these kind of systems is that there's a temperature probe that measures the temperature. If when it passes that point it's at the right temperature, means it was pasteurized, then it lets it go forward. If it does not meet that temperature, it didn't get the temperature, it gets diverted back to where it started again because this stuff wasn't pasteurized properly. Okay, so in all these systems there's two modes, and that's what we're going to use those words, this forward flow, which means is the stuff is all ready to go, it's pasteurized properly and it can go forward to the next step, or divert mode that has to be sent back to the beginning to be redone. Okay, that's one thing. That thing usually is automatic, meaning it's dependent on this thermostat. If it likes the temperature, it doesn't like the temperature, but it can also be manually overridden. On the place, you could usually set for automatic. You can also set it to manually forward flow or manually divert mode. Okay, you can manually set it to one of those things, which is very helpful for our kashrut.
Okay. In other words, even if it doesn't reach the temperature,
you can force it to go to, like for example, you're cleaning.
Go for it.
Let's say you're cleaning, or you're flushing, or whatever you want to do. Right. So you can force it to go into forward flow. You turn the knob to where it says forward flow. You're forcing it into forward flow, even though, according to the specs, right, it wouldn't be.
And what usually is pasteurization temperature?
So let's say in this case, 165. Let's say that's the 165. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever the set point is, in a normal pasteurization, it's, let's say, 165.
This is the time.
Right.
What do you say?
It's like 17 seconds, I don't know.
Right, so what it is, we're going to see, you've seen the pictures, but it is, let's say it's 165, but it has to be 165, like he said, for this many seconds. So what they do is, we'll see it in a second, after you get it up to the temperature, it then runs through empty pipes, okay, that are built to be long enough, they're called holding tubes, they hold the product, if it's 15 seconds, it takes 15 seconds to flow through those pipes, and then the temperature goes after those pipes. So when it comes through the holding tubes, it's still 165, that means it was at 165 for 15 seconds.
Right?
Because it's the holding tube. Okay. So if I ask you to go to the first picture, it says page one. That's not the hottest point, because the hottest point is when it comes out of the heating, right, but then it goes through these empty pipes. There's no heating in those pipes. So it's not the hottest point.
Why not put the temperature right away?
Because it has, in order to be pasteurized, it has to be 165, let's say, for 15 seconds. So how do you know you did it for 15 seconds?
Even though those areas cannot heat in them.
Right, so let's say, so they may have to hit it to 170, and then get to the end, it'll be 165. It'll be down to 165. Okay.
I don't know.
If you could turn to the page that says page one on it, which is really not the first page, but it's the first page of pictures. Okay, so the first,
which page is it?
It says here, page one of it. Okay, so in this shows the product going in forward flow. Okay, it goes from the surge tank on the bottom, it comes up into the section that's called one, which is the regeneration section. We'll explain what this is. It goes there, it gets warmed up a certain amount, goes through the two, which is the heating section. By now it's at its full heat.
The red tube?
The number two in the circle.
Listen, we're starting with one.
Goes up to one. From the surge tank, goes through the section called two.
What's the direction? How does it go?
It's going from the surge tank up.
Between those plates there.
It's going up.
Yeah.
It's going through these plates.
Up and down the plates.
It goes up and down these plates.
Oh, up and down.
Up and down the plates. I just show you the section it's going through. It's going into two, which is the heating section. Okay, that's where it gets its full heating, which there it's heated by hot water. Okay, this hot water is heating that section. Once it's finished through the heating section number two, it's at its full heat. So now it sits in three, which is the holding tubes. Okay, it sits in. But there's a ledger right over here.
Okay.
It says that it's holding tubes.
Okay.
It goes through three, which is the holding tubes. Okay? And now, you see where it says number four on the top of the holding tubes? That's the temperature probers. This over here is a temperature probe that says if, when it came out of the holding tubes, it was still at that temperature, then beseder. Then we can keep on going. Then it comes back down into section number one, which is the regen. What is the regen? Regen means that this product, which is now finished, we don't need it hot anymore, is used to heat the incoming product. Okay, we have this hot product that needs to be cooled down. We have the cold product that came in that needs to be heated up. So instead of a heating media in this section called number one, the regen section, in that section, this product, the top product that's here on the top, heats up this product coming in. Okay, so in this heat exchanger, there's two sides of the heat exchanger. On one side is raw product, which is cold, and on the other side is finished product, which is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the hot product is heating up the cold product. Okay, so okay, that's my motion. In this section, these and these are really going through the same plates. But this is on one side of the plates, and this is on the other side of the plates. So the incoming... Oh,
here is the product?
No.
In between?
This is just a piece of metal. This is a solid piece of metal. But this has plates. This is, let's see, 50 plates in here.
Uh-huh.
And between the first and the second plate is this product. Between the second and the third plate is this product. Between the third and the fourth is this. And between the fourth and the fifth is this.
Right.
Fifth and sixth, I'm losing track of my numbers. But it's switching off between every set of plates. So in the region section, on one side is raw product, which is colder. And on the other side is finished product, which is hotter.
Mm-hmm.
So the heat from the finished product is going into the raw product, which is colder.
Right.
So it's a great thing. You have this extra hot product that you don't need hot anymore,
yeah.
And you have this cold product that you need to heat up, so it heats it up.
So the kashi...
Wait. Go with the kashi again. It cools down the hot product, which you need. You need to cool this down, and it heats up. So it's very efficient. It's brilliant. Okay, now in section two, which was the real heating section, there is water. They're using hot water to heat up the product. They need real heat, so they're using the hot water.
That's
to finish up. Okay, well, we'll get that. So you're jumping ahead.
Section two,
this is the real heating section. So here, the product is being heated by hot water. Because there, you know, it's not enough just to do regen over there. There you need to finish up, let's say, it comes out of over here at 150 degrees. But you need to get it to 170, so you use hot water to get it to the real heating that's going to be. Okay, so then, back...
One second. Now, in two, I thought regeneration is only when it's diverted.
No. No, regeneration is when you're in regular flow.
Okay.
So you finish with your hot product. So what are you going to do now? So you have to cool it down.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you do is you put it through a regen section, which cools it down by heating up the incoming product, which is very efficient. Okay. Now, then, after it finishes, we're now back over here. This stuff, the hot product finished coming out, it now goes through section five and six, which are real cooling sections. Okay, they have water or glycol or ammonia, whatever, some kind of a thing in there in five and six to heat it up, to cool up. There aren't always two sections there. Sometimes there might be just one. Okay, but in this case, which is very common, there's two sections, five and six, to cool the things down. And then it hits temperature probe number seven. Okay, there's a temperature probe over there which says how cold, what temperature is the product, is it ready for storage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be cooled below a certain amount for storage.
Yeah.
Okay, so that temperature almost always is a temperature probe over there.
And what would be the normal?
And that 50 degrees, 40 degrees, whatever. It's ready for refrigeration. It's like out. It's like ready to go. And that temperature probe 7 is going to print in a green pencil. Okay, the temperature probe that was here number 4 is going to print in a red pencil. On the chart, you'll see that as a red pencil.
Uh-huh.
And number 7 is going to be the green pencil. Okay? And so now, what happens, and then it finishes, goes off for storage. Okay, then it leaves the heat exchanger, goes off for storage.
Both pictures,
the picture is from Tetramag, but the lines going through it is me. Well, that's because you're going to see the lines are going to change as we go through the other pictures.
The main question is, do we have a printer here that prints color?
Where do you think I got this from?
Huh?
I printed
this copy upstairs.
I printed it.
Upstairs you have a color printer.
That's really a separate question. We'll do it. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Had a color printer. Okay. So So this is okay. So as you see, no, don't turn the page yet. This is where we see. This is a regular forward flow of product. How it goes, okay? And that's how it goes. Okay. Now there's two ways to divert from this system. Maybe there are more. There are at least two ways to divert from this system. I mean, if everything goes the way it's supposed to, at temperature probe where it says number four, it'll be fine. It'll hit the right temperature and it'll keep on going to forward flow. It won't be diverted. There's two ways to divert. If you go to page number two, you'll see there's one way to divert. Okay, the more problematic way to divert. And the divert here is shown by, you know, I don't know what you call these lines. You know, the lines that are not straight. What happens here at point number four, it was not up to temperature. Okay, we said number four, it wasn't up to temperature.
Right.
So the system diverted it right away. It diverted the hot product around back to the down tank. Okay, the divert went right.
How did it go through? Reverse.
Yes. Well, there's a valve
coming in. You can't go reverse.
What happens to the product that's coming in? I guess it stops it automatically. Good question. I guess it stops that product from coming in.
Product coming in where?
No. It's a new product. No. This is a separate. This is the divert line. This is a special line here for divert. That's not
the exact same as the other one.
It is.
He's not seeing the right line.
This is when we divert it from here.
It goes around like this.
That line. I'm sorry. It's this other line.
Yeah.
The other line. This I don't hate quote. This shade, different color line, is to show that it's a divert line. Okay. So it diverts back to the down thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now what you'll see in a second. Think about what's going to happen now. What's going to happen is, okay, if you were to turn to page 3, you'll see what happens. Then it sits. Now, for a few seconds, it's sitting in divert mode. Okay? What happens is there's no product going forward, and it's just diverting, and what's going to happen? So this.
Where is this in divert mode?
Here, it's in divert mode. There's nothing going forward. It's not going back into the heat exchanger.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't up to temperature. It goes back to here. And now, if you'll see, the balance tank and even the lines going into the heat exchanger are all red, because you only have hot product the whole way. Originally, we had cold product going into the heat exchanger.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, the product was blue going into the heat exchanger because it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start diverting, what's going to happen? The balance tank is going to get hot. It's not going to hold cold product. It's going to hold hot product.
So the blue is cold.
Yeah, well, that's it's shade color to show
the.
So here, the hot product goes. Once you start diverting, all of a sudden, the whole system is hot. Well, at least this whole section of the system becomes hot, which used to not be hot. Usually look at the system, they say, no, the balance tank is always cold. The balance tank is not always cold. If we divert from over here, the balance tank is not going to be cold. The balance tank is going to be hot. Okay, and those pipes going into the heat exchanger, et cetera, are all going to be hot. Okay, I'm going to leave the other type of divert for a second. Okay, but we could just leave that for a second. Okay.
So one second. Well, so once you divert, so this goes back down.
No, it goes. It was still going this way. Goes through this tube, and when it gets to this point, instead of going like this, it turns and it starts going this way.
Right. So how does this become?
So then it goes because now hot product comes back to this balance tank. And what happens? So it's hot. So it keeps on staying. It's just going round and round until.
I mean, if there's raw product in it that's cold, it'll mix.
So it'll
be the same.
It will, but it will very quickly heat up because you have all this hot product. It's going around in a circle now, trying to get back up to temperature. Waiting.
If you have 40-degree milk, and now you're 160-degree milk, I don't know. It might be 100 in the middle. Isn't it?
Good. So it's in between. But it will be very likely over yacht flow this way at that point. Okay.
Right.
We're taking stuff. You know, if the temperature was 165,
right,
and it was 162. It's going to divert.
Right.
Okay, so it's going back to 162 into 40-degree milk, so we're going to get hot product in the places that are supposedly only cold. In fact, we're going to get hot product in a moment. Okay, so that's one of the, in this case, that's the complication one of the complications of Kashrut. Okay, we're going to hold this for a second. Okay, now, you go back to the real first page with the charts on it. I have to show you how the charts work. Okay, charts, in a lot of these companies, they have three pencils on the chart. Okay. There's a red pencil.
That's standard. The colors are standard.
The red and green are always there. Yeah. Red and green is very standard. That's the way it is. Red is for hot. Okay. Red says the product, after it finished the holding tubes, it went through the holding tubes, and now what temperature was it at? That's a red temperature. This is how hot we want the higher the better.
Right.
And then there's the green pencil, which measures after we finish all the cooling and we're ready to go to storage. This is the green pencil that measures how cold it is to make sure that it's cold enough. Okay. There isn't always a green pencil, but usually it's very common that there is. It's lopped off because that a government watching that pencil, but the company's watching it, because if you put product that's 80 degrees into the tank, it's not good. It's got to be cold. Okay. And then there's a third pencil. Okay, a third pencil that it's very hard to notice. Okay, the third pencil, which is also not always there, but the third pencil measures: are we in forward flow or divert mode? So So it's like an on-off switch. Okay? The pencil has only two places. It can either be in this place or this place to show either I'm in forward flow or I'm in divert mode. Okay? So now for the company, or you think for the government, that's an important line to watch. Because if we see that the temperature goes below, the pasteurization is 165, the red pencil is at 160, the government says, I want to see that switch into divert mode. I want to see that you're not letting this product go forward. If your product is still going forward and you're at 160, then something's wrong. The system is not working the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that line is helpful to us also. Okay, now in the chart, does mine make sense then?
Yes.
Okay. The chart that you have on the front page, unfortunately, this company has the charts are very designed poorly. And the line for forward flow prints at about 170 degrees. If you look here, look at 5 p.m. On the chart, 5 p.m.? At about 5 p.m., you could see that at about 170, there's a darker line. At 170 degrees, there's a little bit of a darker line.
The one.
Yeah. See this line over here?
Mm-hmm.
See it's a little darker?
That one?
This thicker line.
Yeah.
That shows that we're in forward flow. And if you look then after that line ends, look, drop down, you'll see that it goes to at 110 degrees, about. There's a darker line that shows that there is.
And then over here, then we went back to here. This is divert mode, right? They're in divert mode.
So that pencil recorded at 110.
This is
in divert mode. Okay, I mean they were not at the temperature, so it was in divert mode.
And this shows.
Okay, so now in other places the line is much nicer, and what they'll have is outside the chart.
So be in a different color. The divert.
No, it's like a black line. That's not going to be red or green. It's usually very.
Color?
This is the same pencil,
right.
Just that the pencil goes up or down depending on what you're measuring. Either it goes here, if it's forward, it goes here. If it's in divert, it goes here. In other places, it's nicer. The line just runs outside, and it goes either up or down. There's just a little band here. It's easy to see what
How do you know it's divert mode because it's 110?
No, because that's just how it's set up in this plant. In this plant, I happen to know that the way their pencil is set up is that it goes to the low when it's in divert and up when it's in forward.
Mm-hmm.
Every place got their own way that they're going to do it, but there's going to be two different ways. That pencil can only be in two positions. It's like an on-off. It's either high, low, or left, or right, whatever.
How come it's all uniform and it's all 110?
Because this pencil can only be in two spots. 110 is of no significance. It's not that it's 110 degrees. It's just a marker. Either the pencil moves to here when it's in divert mode.
Does it show if it's only a marker?
Am I in divert mode or am I in forward flow? This is just supposed to show
it's
that.
It's not showing me any temperature.
No, it happens to be at the place that's called 110 degrees, but it has nothing to do with 110 degrees.
It could just be,
that shows, it's not the divert line. It shows that the system is in divert mode.
Right.
It shows what they're holding by. Okay.
There's a line that is divert, there's no line that we can.
No, but if this line is here, it's divert. If the line is here, then it's important. And other places, the lines are set up differently. That makes it easier to see. Here, it's mixed into the chart. It's harder to see.
All of a sudden, the line just stops over here and goes down.
Right. It can only be in one of two places. Right. In this, another thing is that the divert pencil in this chart is 15 minutes behind the real pencil. Meaning, when it says that at 5 o'clock, if the divert pencil shows that at 5 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, we were in forward flow, that means really at 5:15 we were in forward flow. If the divert, it shows that we were at 4 o'clock, hey, look at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, we switched into divert mode,
mm-hmm.
That means really not at 4 o'clock, we were at 4:15. Okay, that pencil lives 15 minutes behind the other one.
Is there any reason for that?
It has to do with the pencil shouldn't bang into each other. That's why. Because they shouldn't bang into each other. Okay. Yes. Okay. So we're going to see soon how we're going to use this chart. The chart is very helpful in figuring out what's going on with the cash. Okay. I just want to show you that thing about the pencils. Okay. Let's go on. Okay. Now we have halachic things that we have to think about before we get to haykash. Again, you'll see it's not complicated once we get to there. Two dinim that we need to consider. One is we're going to see in a few halachas that the din is you kabbalah lekach poltim, that in din, if something was balu at 150 degrees, you can pasture at 155 degrees. Okay, we'll talk about that in the later halacha. But the Daki Moshe says, and the Pribladim says, and Rav Moshe says that that's very nice for the minhag ikra din, but the minhag is to always pasture at roshchan. So even though in theory you could pasture, if the bleeding here was at 165, you could pasture at 170, we aim to pasture at roshchan in all cases, because that's the minute that you always pasture at roshchan, even though the bleeding was at a lower temperature, and theoretically you can get away with a little bit less. Okay, the minute is always use the cleavishin at roshchan in all cases. That's one thing. The second thing is, our din, which is where we started from, we need to have the blia to be on the water to be on the side where the blia is. So if you think about a region, that's a mamash case of that thing. You could have hot water on one side of the region, but blia comes from both sides of the region. The region has raw product on one side and finished product. It has product on both sides. So if you're running trafe product through this machine, there was trafe on the raw side and trafe on the finished side. If you only put, and we've seen that there are times that water can be hot on both sides. So there's blia from both sides of the plate of the heat exchanger. But if you only kasher on one side, which is very likely, that's very common, when people only kasher on one side, you're putting the hagolah water on only on one side of the kli. You have to have hagolah water on both.
Why would you kasher on one side? Because kasher for a while, but the other water coming in.
No, because if you kasher, if you run the system and say, I want water that's 212, and you run it to 212, no, you won't have anything. Because what will happen is, if you run the system at 212, what's going to happen? The water's going to come in here cold. It's going to be in this section. What's it going to be on the raw side of the region? It's going to be cold.
Right. Yeah.
Then it's going to go around here. It's going to be 212. You'll have heated up by here till 212.
Right.
So it'll kasher these sides, the finished sides of the plate, 212. And then what's going to happen?
One second. This more as you're doing that, there's more water coming in. You have to run it for a while.
And but the water from here is always going to be cold. You can run it the whole way. Michigan into there. It's going to always be cold.
We'll deal with that for in a minute.
What I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
It's always going to be cold.
No.
If there's no divert.
But there always happens that there's divert. Divert happens when something goes wrong. There's a divert.
So you're asking on that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. There are times in the plant that it gets like page 3, that it gets hot in the whole system. That the bleed comes from the raw sides of the plates also. And if you do the kashering just from the finished side of the plates, you're having the hagol on the raw side of the plate.
Okay, let me ask a question. Normal circumstances is supposed to be forward, right?
Yes.
Ikat Tashmisha is forward.
Correct.
So we always cash Ikat Tashmisha, right?
Yes. That's
so is there a problem?
Yes, because the Rambam says you have to be machwe for me, Tashmisha also.
Ina b'nyema?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. We'll get to the two. We're not to the end. Yeah, you have to be machwe for me, Tashmisha also. So it's with okay. We'll get to that, but that's halacha above. We'll get to mitzvah teshmishah. But there are times that the bleed comes around this way, and this side is hot also. So then,
this is all mitzvah teshmishah. On this other side, this is teshmishah.
We that's a shiloh. But that Israel is not considered mitzvah teshmishah. Just put it on the side.
That's not the goal, right?
We put it on the side. It's not again. So over here, the bleed.
Could you put it on pause? Can you do a pause?
I don't know.
Okay.
Why?
No, I just don't understand it.
Okay. I'll say it again. I don't mind. The water comes in like this.
Yeah.
Okay. And in here, this picture is not so accurate. What it is there are plates here. There are many, many plates here. Okay. This is raw, and this is finished.
Right.
Raw.
Right.
Finished. Raw. Okay.
Right.
So now, when it goes in regular run, on this side is cold. This is cold.
Right.
These are all cold, and where the F's are hot.
Right.
Okay.
And it's going
cold.
And
it goes up and down, and up and down, up and down through the whole plate. Right. Comes down here, and it's hot. So if we kasher in this method, we will get cold water over in the raw in these plates,
right,
and hot in these sides.
Right.
So now this piece of metal, okay, the blia that on this side has the hagolah water touching it, but the blia that if blia ever came in from this side, hagolah water never touched it. Hagolah water only came from the wrong side, and that's what we see in this thing, that the hagolah water has to come from the right side. Now there are times that this is really hot. This is not cold, and blia comes in from here. The glia comes in from here, we have to kasher from here also. How are we going to kasher from here? How are we going to get? We have to get hot water to the raw side. Now, there's never, in normal, if you do traditional kashering, you only have cold water here. Here comes, give me 212 degrees. They run 212 degrees through this whole system. At 212, this is going to keep coming in cold. So we have to figure out how to get hot water into this part of the system. That's what we're going to do. Right? That's what we're headed to. If I show you the problem, you'll see why we're trying to do that. If we'd only run it like this, we're going to keep getting cold water in this part of the system. So we want to get hot water. There are times that this line is red, that there's really hot water running through the system. How are we going to turn this line red? Because we're going to have to force it into divert and cash like that. That's what you'll see.
I thought divert was a problem.
Divert, when they it divert during problem. Production, creates our problem. And we're going to use that to create the solution also. Right. We're gonna, the same way the problem.
Kasher and divert mode.
We have to do both. We're going to do both. We have to cash in. We can't own cash and divert because then we're missing other parts of the system. Right. We're going to have to do both. But because of this thing,
that's the thing that people don't know.
Yes, if not for our din, we would say the Hagol would in the F side over here in these sections was kashering the metal. What do you care? The metal is being kashered. But I was insane. You have to kasher from the side where the bleed came in from. So if bleed came in from the R side, from the raw side, we have to get hot wood on that side during our kasher.
Right.
That's what we have to do.
Now, does Avner Nezer say anything about Hagol?
No. No one dreams of saying about Hagol. By Lieblin, he says there, the whole thing is on fire. The whole thing is burning hot. It's red hot.
But then
it's
like, sure
no one dreams of saying that about Hagol. Right, that's exactly what we're talking about.
You have the problem with that, but the problem was never got. And I have cold hot water.
Correct. That's another problem. Another issue is right. Correct. If we won't do something, this surge tank, this tank over here, and this pipe over here will never get kashered. Right. If we don't go to divert, we won't kasher part of the system here. That's correct. That's another reason why we have to do it. Good.
Okay. Where are you coming out to your den, anyways? In which case?
These plates, the plates in here, the raw side of the plates. Has Hagolah.
Which I'll tell you, what do you call the raw side?
The product, what comes in before, in a region, there's two sides. One is the product before it was pasteurized, call that the raw side. And the other side is the finished side, is after it's been pasteurized.
Why do you have a problem? Because that side, the water is coming in.
Because if we would cast it just by putting through the finished side, okay?
So no, you're always going to start with the raw.
We start with cold water on the raw side. When we start a kashering or a cleaning, there's cold water on that side. We have to get boiling water on that side. We start off with 60-degree water on that side.
But the product also starts 60-degree.
But there are times that the product is not.
Only by divert.
By divert. So we have to fix that problem. That's how we're going to fix the problem.
That was your alarm.
Yes, it is. During divert mode, there's bleed on both sides of the metal. During divert mode, when the product in divert mode, there's bleed from this side and from this side. Not just from the finished side, even from the raw side, or from raw. There's bleed coming from this other side. So we have to kasher from that side also.
Oh, you're saying if only on the way out, it will kasher on the way out, you're telling me?
Yes, it will.
Without that, you were saying,
you're right, you're saying you just kasher by finished side, because I kasher the metal. But now, if you just run through the finished side, you say I kasher both.
But I'm saying the metal. Okay. By Hagol, right? Let's say I'll put cold water into the pot. I'll stick the pot into cremation, boiling hot water. Okay? And I let the water in the pot now get hot through that.
Okay.
Is that Hagol on the wrong side or the right side?
What's the difference?
I think that's good. That would be good enough.
Let's say this. Therefore what?
So that's what is happening over here.
No,
because the film inside is heating up the raw side.
It will not heat it. It will heat it up minimally. It won't get up to kashering. Yeah, I should say minimally. Okay. It will not get up to kashering temperature. There's two parts here. We have to get it heated to. We want to have the hot, the thing at Hagol temperatures, not just at Kabbalah Kachbalah, and we want to have it from the right side. Okay.
My understanding was a standard CIPs, the company does divert. It goes back and forth.
It is part of a CIP that it will do divert. As we saw in the plans, that the guy is lazy. Yeah,
okay. I don't know, America.
Okay. Okay, fine. Now, one last thing is, okay, fine, that's fine. The last thing that we're really not going to talk about is there is a water loop that heats up section number two. This part of the two, how does that get heated up? That's not being heated by product. In section number two, the heat exchanger has plates. On one side is raw product, and on the other side is water. It's water from like a little water loop. Okay, so that little water loop, the water goes, what this water does is goes from a heat exchanger, it gets heated by steam, it gives over its heat to the product,
right.
And then it goes back to the heat exchanger. So it's just 20 gallons of water running around, constantly being heating the product. Okay, so that thing, we run two loops. I'm going to skip that. You have to deal with that. How we deal with that, we'll talk about separately. And you have to get rid of that water. You have to pipe it, or you have to get rid of it. Well, I'm just going to leave that on the side for now, okay?
are these numbers random that you gave?
Which numbers?
One, two, or is this standard?
Absolutely random. I just made it just so you'd be able to follow the chart. Right. I put these numbers in so you could follow what's going on over here. It's easy to quote one.
Only 2 seconds, I'm not going to
read. Right, this five and six is not always...
The water is always on the extreme right?
Yes, this setup, which is that the regen is... The last section is a very thin section, and that's for heating. And right next to it is the regen, which is a little bit wider. And right next to it is one or two very wide sections that are for cooling. It always looks like that. Yeah, that always looks like that.
Right. What is this, five and six? What are
five and six are cooling sections.
Cooling
sections. So sometimes five and six are just one big section. But that
is just cooling. There's no hot water coming in there?
In five and six? Well, the hot product is being cooled off by water.
Right.
And it usually, in a system with regen, it comes into the below yard by the time it gets there. That's why it's yellow. I don't know if you noticed it. That's why it's yellow. It's coming below Yad Sledes. Okay? So if we can, let's go through the steps of the kasher. we have to do it like this. Okay. The first thing is, the cooling pumps should be turned off. For section 5 and 6, you can turn it off. Okay. Section 5 and 6 are cooling. This heat exchanger has plates. On one side of the plate is your product, and on the other side of the plate is something to cool it off. Is it cold water? Is it refrigerated water? Is it ammonia? All kinds of different things that they could use to cool it off. Those are being pumped from someplace. It's not just a big bucket of water. I mean, it's running through the plates of the heat exchanger. So they're coming from someplace. Okay, so if you turn off those pumps, you don't let cooling water flow through, there will be a certain amount of water left in there that will do what they call residual cooling. A little bit will cool the thing off, even if you turn the pump off. But basically, it's going to be a minimal amount of cooling that you're going to get from these things because there's no new cold stuff coming to it. Okay? Okay, so you do it like this. We're on page, go to page 3. Okay. Go to page, please go to page, what the page that says page 3. The one that's not, it's not the third page. The one that says page 3. Okay, so the first part of the kashrut is, aside from draining the water or being plugged in the water, I'm leaving that. You go to divert mode. Okay, you let it, if it runs in divert mode for 15 minutes once you've already hit Hagol temperature. Okay, so once the red pencil is showing your Hagol temperature and it runs in this loop for 15 minutes, okay, you will have kashrut all the divert lines, the balance tank, and one side of the regen section.
Nobody has problems with 212 here.
No problems.
For sure
not. No problems. No. Okay. So you're running your water around like this in divert mode for 15 minutes. So what you've done, you've captured a whole part, some parts of the equipment, and what's important for the
next 15 minutes come from? You just stop giving them.
That's correct. Two things. First of all, because it's a nice amount of time to get everything nice and hot, and also it shows well on the charts. Okay, if you do it for 2 minutes, we've tried it, it doesn't show well on the charts. 15 minutes is a nice line, you see a nice line on the chart. It shows it well on the chart. Now, when you do this, on the chart, you're going to see two things. The red pencil is going to be up where you want it to be, and the pencil that shows divert is going to say, we're in divert mode. It's going to move to the place that says, I'm in divert mode. Okay, that's, you know, we're doing divert mode. The chart will show the red pencil is up high, and the divert mode, the thing that shows, am I in divert mode? Yeah, it'll say, you're in divert mode. Okay, you've been diverting. Now, you're doing another thing that you're doing subtly over here is that the plates in the section of one, the regen section, are being heated up. The plates are being heated in preparation that they're getting burning hot. There's boiling water running through them for 15 minutes. They get that thin plates, they're getting very hot. Okay. Now, you turn to page 4. Turn to page 4, and you go into forward flow. They switch into forward flow. Now, in this picture, it's like a 2 second thing that's going to happen. All this is going to last is for 2 seconds. You're in forward flow. The product is going, now it moves from where it says number 4, and it goes into the plate on the top. What's going to happen? This is going to last moments for seconds. But when it hits there, it's going to be boiling water, hitting plates that are burning hot, because they've been heated up from the previous time. So it hits plates that are burning hot with boiling hot. So now you have boiling hot water on both sides of the regen. Okay, that we just captured both sides of the regen right now. In that second, in these few seconds that we have now, we've captured both sides of the regen. Okay, the raw side was being captured already, and now the finished side, this top over here, is burning hot. It's red. I'm watching the colors. Okay, it's red.
Why is it around the bottom now?
Because we just read for a second ago, it was diverting into here.
Yeah.
So it was burning hot. It was red until on the
page.
Now for the next 2 seconds, this is a 2 second picture. We now just switch into forward flow. So this product coming out of here is still burning hot.
Okay.
And it's hitting the product on this side of the region is also burning hot. Because it's just popping out of here and it's hitting hot plates. Mm-hmm. So everything is hot in there at that time.
It's being hot because now it's forward and it's not being cooled off because it's not cold water on the other side.
Very clear. Right. It's not being, usually when you get to that section, it starts getting cooled off by the incoming product. And here there's nothing incoming to cool off because the incoming is just as hot as it is.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm sorry, I should have said, that's very clear. That's making we're getting exactly what we want now. We have hot on both sides. Okay? And then it goes through the cooling. It goes through the cooling a little bit and it cools off a drop. Okay, but within a few seconds, you'll turn to page 5. Okay, within a few seconds, the water coming back to the surge tank is already cooling down, because now it got a little bit of cooling in the cooling section. It makes its way around, and by now it's yellow, and it starts already. It'll soon start affecting the water in the...
Right.
They'll revert, send it back to here.
Poison.
That's what they will do for cleaning. That's what the system does. They don't pour the water down the drain yet. Right now they're cleaning.
Right.
So they'll loop the water around like this. So now, within this from page 4 to 5 takes 2 seconds. Okay. It's just a matter of till the pipe, water runs through the pipes. So it's already starts cooling down. And then already, like he said, it'll start having the effect that the incoming water will be too cold. We'll start cooling down the water coming through the region. And then, within a little while, I don't know if page 6 has no patience.
So you're not showing what we have to do here. You're just telling
I am showing. So we start off in...
Oh,
we start off
five,
in... Five is the end.
Is Henry's have nothing to do with Kasher.
Right, well, four is the end of... It's
right.
Sort of the end,
right.
What you do is like this. What you do is after page 4, that runs for 10, 15 minutes. Again, it shows well on the chart, and they'll get the Kasher.
You're not saying it should only be done... We're not... Stopping.
No, we can't stop it over there. I would
put it afterwards and forward. And
I would say, I would say do that for 15 minutes also. That also will show on the chart. Okay,
right.
That also, but two things are going to show on the chart. First of all, it's going to show the red pencil will keep staying up high. The divert pencil will say we're in forward flow, and then there's something else that's going to show. Okay. The number seven that measures how the cold product will all of a sudden spike up.
Uh-huh.
Right. This pencil over here,
right.
That measures how cold the finished
right.
product, how
right.
cold is
right.
the finished product, all of a sudden it's going to spike up. It's been sitting at 40 degrees the whole day. All of a sudden it's going to spike up to 175 degrees. Because all of a sudden, usually this cold stuff comes through here. All of a sudden, in this burst that's coming through here, all of a sudden it's hot water. The first second, and then for a couple of minutes, you'll be having reasonably hot water going through there.
Right.
It'll show a spike on that pencil.
Right.
Okay, so when you do a good patching on something with regen, you have to watch the green pencil also. The green pencil doesn't sit still on the bottom. The green pencil does spike up. Okay, that's what we'll see. Okay, and then I hope I'm being clear. Okay. If not, we could talk more.
We should actually go to a place afterwards.
We can. We have plenty of places. He's the king of the region. Yes, he's the king of plants of the region.
Okay.
It's very common in theories. It's very because your finished product you want to store cold. Very common. So yeah, that's what I did. So we can go to places. We'll pick us a nice place.
Okay.
You're right. Seeing it live is very much adds to what's going on with it. Okay. And then now there's one other type. We've been talking about that you divert from number 4, right where the temperature probe is. That makes sense. There's a sense to divert there. At probe number 4 says I diverted at number 4. It wasn't the right temperature, so you divert right away back to the hole to the stir thing. Other places, excuse me, they don't divert right away. They let the product keep running through the system. It gets cooled down, and after it comes out of the heat exchanger, it's already cooled down. Then it goes back to the stir thing.
What is blue? That knows.
That's the divert line. This is the other way of diverting. Instead of diverting over here,
right.
You wait till it goes through the heat exchanger and diverts over here.
So cold. They're doing the whole thing over.
They're starting from scratch. Right. They're starting again from scratch. They're saying this stuff is ruined. It's hopeless. We're starting again from scratch. Okay. I don't know what the reason for this one, that one is. The svara for this one is, if you keep the product too high, they might get ruined the other way. I don't. It's not our problem. There's a different way to divert, which is you divert from here. Instead of diverting from where it said number 4,
right.
You wait till it passes the other temperature probe, not because you want the temperature probe per se, but you're waiting for it to be cooled down, you put it back into your balancing cold. Okay? They put it back into their balancing cold. Okay? When they do that, that's a very different kind of a setup, and as you could imagine, in that case, you never have hot product over here. Our whole problem that we were talking about doesn't exist. You don't get any hot product coming back into the balance tank. Okay? So then the only reason then to divert is not because we have to kasher on both sides. This balance tank doesn't need kashering. It never gets hot. This blue line never gets hot either. You don't have to kasher. The only reason you should be diverting anyhow, you should be running without the cooling system on, because if you run like this, if you run in this mode, in divert mode, or even in this mode, this over here, the region, this hot part of the region will only get to Kabul Kachpolte. You will not be able to get up to Roisin. Okay, what's going to happen is every time...
It's so cold, and then we're going
to do it. In the first system we told you, no, when you divert back from here, it gets hot over here, but then during your kashering, you get both of these three Roisin.
I think it cools off, it goes all the way through here. You're going to do it
after first. No, so what happens is back to this page. But right here,
yeah.
That works on both sides.
if you did the Davernus.
You did the Burk first, then you did it. Yeah. But in our, in here, on six, you know, we hit number six, what's going to happen is, this water's going to always be cooled down.
Right.
Even if you divert, it's going to cool down.
Right.
So the best that you can do is, you can turn off the cooling. Okay, in this case, you could turn off the cooling.
So it won't be so cold.
So then it will not, right, so it'll come back to the surface thing hotter than usual. And then you'll, no, but then, but if you run it for long enough, it'll slowly build up temperature. It will not get up to Roitzkin on both sides. You won't get a Roitzkin on both sides, but you can get it to reasonably closer to Roitzkin on both sides then. Oh, I was on this side. Okay, because you will always lose a certain amount of temperature here. I once stood in front of a heat exchanger. It was probably 45 minutes. Okay, it wouldn't budge over this. Number 7 wouldn't budge over like 160 or something like that. Because the residual cooling just wouldn't let it get past a certain amount. But even so, but 160 is better than 60. If you put 160 on this side, then this coming 212, 160 on this side versus 212 on this side will only cool it off a little bit. So you'll stay much closer to the person than you would have been had you not been. Okay? Now, really, we should go back to the charts. It's been too long. But if you go back to the charts, this chart shows a real caution. Okay, using that kind of a system. And you see a spike. This is, you see a spike, much bigger spike than in the green pencil. Okay, if you look at this, you'll see the green pencil. Of course, it's not green. But you see the bottom pencil that most of the time hovers around 50, 60, 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's bouncing up and down. And you see at 5 o'clock, it spikes up to not all the way up to caching temperatures, but awfully close there, because all of a sudden, surprise, there's hot water where there's supposed to be cold water. Usually it's in the 50, 60, 70 degrees. That's what usually hovers around. I watched the place caching. I watched the chart. They said this was our caching. And the green pencil sat at 40 degrees the whole day, 24 hours. You know, it never moved off of 20. So that shows that someone didn't run hot water through that part of the thing, obviously. The red pencil was all way up there. The green pencil didn't move because they weren't playing around the way we are, to with the diverts and turning off the cooling to make the caching out like that.
Now, shouldn't this be a major issue? Is there any way to say b'dieved it's okay the way that you're caching the other way?
Yes. Well, yes. If you don't divert at all in a hot system, you're missing certain pipes.
Right.
Certain pipes are not getting cached at all. The pipes that you are caching are getting at least a Kabul cup bolted. So can I say it's b'dieved? No, it's not b'dieved, no good. Because you're getting Kabul cup bolted, you are getting. And me testing is only l'chatchila. So you're getting something. I don't know. We can argue about that. I mean, whether it's b'dieved, but this is the right way to kasher. And I'm saying to you that if you go to a company and you say to them, but Yossi said, don't people always do divert? And yet they do. You're not asking them to do something tremendously more than they would usually do,
right,
or terribly complicated. This is nothing about this, about what they have to do is very complicated. It's 15 minutes in divert mode at caching temperatures, and 15 minutes in forward flow at caching temperatures.
Yeah, that's what 15 minutes. I don't know what to do. I have to review a few places.
Okay,
in caching.
15 minutes.
I told me it's computer set. It goes back and forth. You know, between divert, not divert. And
but it goes at caching temperatures. It goes back and forth in caching temperatures
during the CIP.
Right. So you're right. It's CIP summons are locked. That you can't touch what it does, but it doesn't usually do at our temperatures. They won't be capturing at what we want. But
if I thought the CIP has to be done at capturing temperatures, or
right,
190, whatever it is, and they're doing divert, not divert.
How can he?
Well,
he can't play with it. So he can't, if he can't touch it, if it's what we call hardwired,
right,
I can't change it.
Is this through a new company? Is this through
No. So okay, so it's sometimes what the official program is, you can't touch, you can't play around with it. But when they're doing their own cleaning, if they would do a caching afterwards, then they can. If it's stuck, it's harder because they can't push the CIP button.
Okay.
I don't know. It's higher than that. But it's not at the caching temperature. Okay, so
I don't know these juice plants.
No, but then it's sterilization also. In the aseptic plant, they don't have sterilization.
Okay, right. That aseptic is its own special part. Aseptic is this plus. And the septic plant has this plus other things. So maybe one day we'll get to the septic plant. This is a septic plant has this. This is one part of the septic plant, but there's more parts to it also to make it more complicated. Okay.